Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Thanks, everybody.
The Bears.
You're listening to the best of the Bears.
He's in for the touchdown, and the Chicago Bears have taken the lead.
A weekly mix of 670 The Score's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
What was the good, the bad, the ugly about Caleb Williams' night? Did you see any noticeable difference from Caleb's rookie version of himself?
Well, the good was the first half. He came out hot. He showed progress. He demonstrated an ability to grasp this offense, get rid of the ball quickly, and make good decisions and buy himself some time. And I think he got faster. Caleb Williams in the offseason, I think, seemed like a half step to his speed, which was very noticeable. And it felt like the days of Justin Fields when we're watching him lead the Bears in rushing with 58 yards. Goodness sakes. But that's not by design. That's out of necessity.
Right.
He can't be that quarterback, and he isn't that guy. I was disappointed in the second half, like everyone else watching, because too often he was inaccurate, and I don't know where that came from. I wanted to see that step quicker. I wanted the improvement to be more obvious when it counted. The thing about being a difference maker is that you've got to make a difference. And at some point in time, he's got to just take over a game. And I know it's one game in his second year and his first time he's executed this offense, and we all need to be patient. But my immediate reaction coming out of last night and in real time as it was happening was that the quarterback needs to make a play here. The quarterback needs to make a pass here. The quarterback can't overthrow that receiver on fourth down or miss an open guy down the field. And that's what happened in the second half. So there was good, there was bad, there was ugly, and it wasn't good enough. And that's all that matters. Ben Johnson, holding him to his word, all he wanted Caleb Williams to do was win the game, no matter how. And he didn't.
So the good was his use of his legs. You pointed that out, David. That was good to see. He evaded some pressure, got out there, ran. I agree. He looked quicker. The bad, I'm gonna die on this hill, I guess, by myself. He missed DJ Moore on that fourth down. That was the bad early on. And then the ugly was basically the entire second half. He and the offense were terrible, awful, not good enough.
You know, it's hard to believe that Ben Johnson, he's got Case Keenum in the quarterback room, that he didn't play better for longer. That was a joke, by the way. That was a reference to something that happened yesterday. I'm sorry. Look, Caleb Williams, it's going to take time. David is right. You've got to be patient. And I think that by next year, he will be significantly better. As the season goes on, he will get better. But he's not good enough right now. He wasn't good enough in that game. He missed way too many downfield throws. He missed way too many open guys. And it's just going to take him more time. He just hasn't done this enough. He hasn't operated under center enough. I just think you've got to be patient, and you've got to wait for it all to begin to click. I know that's easy to say, and a lot harder to live. And it's, you know, Ben Johnson just got here. I haven't given up faith in him being able to have an impact. But I do believe that as the game was going on there, I was wondering, like, who's going to make a play? Who is he going to get the ball to who can make a play? And it worked with Rome Odunze on the sideline. It was a hell of a throw.
That was a great throw.
And a hell of a catch.
Great throw.
And then that led to the touchdown. I think there were moments that you really liked, but ultimately just win the game did not happen. And you know, he needs help, and he needs the defense to play better and to play better over the course of the game, and they did seem to wear out. I also think that you know, the tight end is going to get better. I thought Cole Kmet made a great catch.
Great catch.
I thought Colson.
Best catch of the night.
Colson Montgomery.
Loveland.
Was great on the sidelines. Colson Loveland made a good catch in the middle of the field, kind of double catch the ball. I just think it's difficult for rookies, and you got to let them be rookies. I think Caleb's learning a new system, and it's going to take maybe a little longer than you want it to. It doesn't mean it can't happen. It just didn't happen in that game. And get the ball to DJ Moore. Throw the ball to DJ Moore.
Targeted only five times.
Yeah.
Caught three of them.
He's good when he gets the ball.
68 yards. Roma Dunze targeted nine times.
I know.
And Alamze Zacchaeus, seven.
Yeah.
He's pretty good.
He was all right.
Yeah. He's steady.
Yeah. I think you got to get more out of the weaponry you have. I think he threw some passes to the running back early and then abandoned that project. So I don't know. I mean, I worry.
I also think the accuracy is missing in those short passes that he sometimes the quick whip passes. I really don't like the horizontal passing game as much as the Bears seem to be in love with it.
Well, I agree with that. I also felt there were some dangerous throws and that there were a couple that they started figuring out what he was trying to do. Mm-hmm. And the one with the linebacker coming up, he could have intercepted that pass. That was not well thrown, and it wasn't a good ball to.
That was not good. That was a very poorly thrown ball.
But he's got to see what he's throwing at downfield.
Van Ginkel almost had that as a pick six. That'd have been a highlight.
Is that Rip Van Ginkel?
No, it's not. No, it wasn't.
All right,
we need 40 winks. Not yet. We got a big show ahead.
We got a huge show ahead.
Huge show.
And we're going to get on with it. We've got Olin Kreutz, the great man himself, will join us. We can talk to Olin about some of the things he saw, some of the things. Listen, I mean, the reality is this is a work in progress. We want it to be more of a completed entity, but they are just getting started. It's the start of a new era. I think there is reason for hope, but there's also a lot of reason for disappointment after that performance yesterday. I think a lot of us felt a bit let down by the fact that they could not finish. I would maybe tattoo that word on my body.
Finish?
Were I Ben Johnson?
Finish? Do the Bears have a tattoo artist on hand?
But the guy probably would misspell it and make him F-I-N-N-I-S-H.
How would you misspell finish? If you put two N's in there, then you're talking about somebody from Finland.
That's what I'm saying. Okay. That's not what we're looking for.
No, you're not talking about somebody with an accent.
I said you want them to finish
the job.
If you add an N, you know, I don't know how great the spelling is at the School of Tattoos. I just wonder sometimes.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
We're back with more Inside the
Locker Room.
Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com.
It's perfect. I love it.
Martin Bruce, welcome inside the clubhouse.
Is Bruce going to be upset?
The AI locker room is just absolutely perfect. This is Raheem Ann Harris with Mark Grody. And the reason that we want to... The reason we did that is because you know a show called Inside the Clubhouse, which is completely different from Hit and Run. Those are two different shows, you know.
Well, isn't Hit and Run called the premier baseball show?
The premier baseball show in Chicago.
Yeah, I haven't heard the retort from inside the clubhouse on that. Are they also the premier?
They probably feel like they're above the fray. They don't need to even dip down to that.
They've been doing it longer.
If you're keeping track of the game at home called Raheemy and Harris with Mark Grody, you note that Mark Grody decided to stir the pot at 11:29.
There it was.
Marshall Harris issued a wild prediction at 10:48.
It was not a wild prediction. Grody's on board.
Well, you just said the clock is ticking, basically. Okay, like there's a point where if this keeps up, you can't take it anymore. And I'm saying AI.
And it's specific to his accuracy and ability to throw the ball down the field. It's got to be a threat.
I will choose to go with what Patrick Manley says. It's fixable. That's why I asked him the question. I want to know, and I'll ask coaches this question. Is it fixable? And I want to hear yes, and then I'll have hope. So I'm not benching Caleb Williams after one game, but it's just some of the same things keep popping up.
Wait till you hear Tim Jenkins. Keeping track at home. I lost control of the show hours ago. So this is supposed to be the segment called Inside the Locker Room with Mark Grody. So you were there. You were at the Bears game yesterday. You were in the press box next to David Haugh at Soldier Field.
I was.
You also were inside the locker room after the game. What is it that you want us to hear the most when it comes to priority number one for what you took away from your talks with the Bears?
Yes, quick note before I start this, Ray, if you get a chance, if you could please take some video of Jeff Tweedy, who is down the hallway doing a little concert right now, because it's just that's just sick. I couldn't make my way down there.
Write that down. He's warming up. You could go in the next break. But you have to do this segment first. That's the rule.
Okay, so let me take you in the locker room. The first guy that you will hear from is one of the new Bears, Dio Dangbo, who did have some. He was very good early.
He finally popped.
Yeah, he had a
Marshall
sack.
Put the pressure on him, and he was like, "You got it, Marshall. Watch this."
We're talking about QB hits. We're talking about sacks. Yeah. We're talking about all the things that a down defensive lineman edge that you paid a lot of money, you want to see them do in game one.
Yes.
He took your coaching.
So if we're going to be dramatic after one game, I'll say that was a very good game. And so far, the projection on Dio Dangbo is good. He did have a couple of penalties, too. He joined the bandwagon. But here he was in the locker room. And my basic question is, what happened? What happened with the defense? Where was the energy?
What was the feeling on the sidelines when it kind of started to go sideways for you guys in this?
I think we let the energy get away a little bit too much. You know, kind of lost the crowd out of the crowd crowd factor out of the game, and we weren't able to kind of sustain that energy and execution through the fourth quarter.
Do you know why?
I mean, it's hard to say. I got to go back and look at the tape. So.
That was such a vet answer.
Yeah, but I appreciated him being forthright about the fact, because that's what it felt like. Like the energy was just on like this slow decline throughout the game, like after the first half, and especially in the fourth quarter.
Here's what I understand about what Dio said when he says he's got to look at the tape. It wasn't like a, why did you get blocked or anything. It's like, why did the energy get sucked out from the fans, which you just told us it was the fans who went away. Didn't he live it firsthand? I don't understand how the tape is going to help him absorb that part.
I mean, I took it to mean the defense. Mark, I don't know how you felt.
Yeah. Like, and I think I am guessing what he is saying about looking at the tape is to see specifically where they went wrong, because where they went wrong led to the lack of energy that existed
in the crowd.
In the crowd. And look, like defenses run on adrenaline a lot of the time. They play to the crowd. They're the ones getting the crowd into the game at Soldier Field. And they were doing that in a big way last night. And they, for whatever reason, they just couldn't keep it up. That's what she said. So, like, there's lots of different possibilities on this that exist. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to talk to him later on in the week after watching the tape. Let's move on to Cole Kmet. And I think the tape will speak for itself here, just his impressions of this loss.
Cole, initial reaction to that game and obviously the way it ended up going.
Yeah, I mean, sucks for the outcome and the way it ended. Give credit to them that, you know, they played a better full game than we did. You know, obviously we had some opportunities there to kind of close it out, and we didn't do that. So we got to do a better job on that front.
Such a good first drive. You guys are playing well on offense. Defense is playing well, but I guess from the offense perspective, what happened?
I think our execution just has to be better. And when it comes down to those penalties, that's where we can we can be better, more disciplined, and you know, that's us on play as players while we're out there, being on the same page and making sure we're executing. You know, and when you're falling behind the chains against a coordinator like that, against a defense like that, you're putting yourself in a pickle. I think in that first drive, we did a good job of staying ahead of the sticks, and we didn't do that there towards the end of the game.
So for Cole, I think it seems like the offense wasn't running anywhere near as efficiently after the first drive for the rest of the game, really. And that's where I take not issue necessarily, but like, what were you trying to do? It seems like they were trying to move the football forward, but like, what was your plan to do that? Because the runs were just kind of like, and then 2 yards, 3 yards.
What would you say you do here?
Yeah.
And while I do think Cole Kmet was a big factor in the game, I definitely thought some of his blocks were the reasons that even in the first drive, some of those plays were successful.
And a hell of a catch, too.
And like I said earlier, I feel like there were blocks where he was directly involved in scheme as far as pocket retention. Yeah, unfortunately, it came down to him on some of those plays. Like, there was one where he had an excellent block and somebody fell down, and Caleb Williams had a clear view for a passing lane that ended up being complete. So that's what you want to see. He ended up, Cole Kmet did, with four targets. He had an amazing one-handed catch for 31 yards. Colson Loveland had two targets. So together, that's six for the tight end group. But you do want to see more. Like, Colston had that little bobble there for one of his catches, but I thought it was still good to see him play, see him get in the mix in that first game. Cole Kmet, to me, sounds a little more calm and confident than what we heard from him last year as far as the team is concerned. Mark, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, Cole's been around here so long now that it's gotten to the point where he's making the best of the situation, obviously, in terms of what he is saying about it. But he has seen a lot. As far as the tight ends are concerned, like, we all know that eventually that is something that Ben Johnson is going to expand. That's why they drafted Colston Loveland where they did. And, you know, they could have had Tyler Warren. Like, those were the two guys that they were debating over. It just, like, none of it is there yet in terms of what Ben Johnson really wants to do with this offense.
And he was very clear after the game, Ben Johnson, I'm saying, in that this is a game where the game plan was designed for the tight ends to be more involved in the running game than the passing game. The problem was the running game never really got off the ground.
I shall now take you back into the locker room, where as I walked towards the back of the locker room, I saw Grady Jarrett there, and he was talking about what they might have learned from this game.
Yeah, man, absolutely, you know, disappointed for sure. Got to, you know, close out when we got the opportunity to. But I think, you know, obviously when you dealing with tough losses, so many lessons in it, you know. So a lot of things learned, get better from. We all would like a different outcome, didn't go our way today. But luckily we get to see them again, you know. And that's a good football team. That's a good football team right there. And that's a way to open the season. And we've seen some things that we did well and things we can get better at. And so that's what I, you know, see is just the positives in the hurt, and I think there's a lot of things to learn from, but we definitely got to close out the game when we have the opportunity. You know, I can only speak with my experience here at the Chicago, and I look at it as there's a lot of good lessons to learn out this game. You know, I wouldn't say, you know, I think this is a good group of guys that want to win and do it. So I'm not even on the, as far as the, he will have better, you know, knowledge of that as far as learning how to win. I think we got a group of guys that want to win and do it hard, win a lot. So I think we're going to go back to work, and we're going to be positive about the things moving forward and really just focus on where we're at right now. And I think that's all that matters, where we're at right now. And I think that should be the focus.
He sounds like somebody who knows that they have a lot to work on, but he doesn't sound like somebody who thinks it's a lost cause, especially when you consider how much of a veteran he is. I don't think that's window dressing out of Grady Jarrett.
No, and I think also he understands that, I think from his confidence level, that they can turn this around. It's not a lost cause. I think he's been around long enough to know when, oh, this isn't going to get any better. But with as many young players as they have, still first-year head coach, still first-year defensive coordinator in terms of being with this group of players, I think there was enough positive things that you could take away from this game to say, we built on this. And back to what Patrick Manley was talking about, when you talk about the greatest growth is from week one to week two, it's going to be very interesting knowing what we know about Detroit and how they looked against the Packers. Two very desperate teams trying to make sure they don't fall into an 0-2
desperate
hole.
Desperate is a great word right there, Marshall. And it's funny, like, Grady Jarrett, last week, he was kind of telling us, like, weird things happen in week one. And he even said, like, I don't know if you use the exact words, but we all overreact. It's to wins or to losses and all of that. So that was the voice that I was hearing in there. The guy who is in his 11th year, I believe, in the National Football League, guy like that has seen a lot.
Yes, he has, and I think it's important that you got to talk to him. We have more from our new segment, Inside the Locker Room with Mark Grody here on Raheem and Harris.
The premier locker room show.
Yes, it's the premier locker room show on The Score. It's also the premier baseball show. Ooh.
Yeah.
Shots fired.
Look at that. Whoa, Layla.
Why are you trying to get some trouble?
Am I rubbing off on you all of a sudden here? Like, you're starting to instigate stuff? Is that what's happening?
Starting?
Ah, yes.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
The Bears are going to wonder what hit them.
Yeah. They're going to walk out of here short of a miracle right here and wonder how they lost this football game.
All right. Then we're going to have to go with an oldie but goodie.
Caleb's done a lot of really great things, but there's been opportunity for some bigger plays if he gets a good pre-snap read and knows exactly where the design of the play is taking.
I think you know, first it starts with
frustration for Ben Johnson.
Obviously, a disappointing way to start the season there for us. You know, we just have a 17-6 lead, and then see it go the way it did there in the fourth quarter.
Look at this crowd in the third quarter. There was a time I hadn't heard the crowd this loud at Soldier Field ever.
Hey guys, how are we doing tonight? Obviously a tough loss. Really hard to stomach kind of the staleness that we've seen in years past from a team that we had high expectations to kind of have this high-octane offense.
I'm just frustrated after tonight's loss. I mean, it seems like he just broke down in the second half.
Caleb, when is he going to learn how to process the game? Because he struggles with processing, and it's so obvious. You have so many good weapons on this offense, like, it's just so hard to watch.
And that's it. The Minnesota Vikings will start this season 1-0 with this strong comeback and a win on the road here in Chicago.
I thought Caleb played well to start the game for the most part.
That's the same.
The official adventures of
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is the Spiegel and Holmes show, your first post-Bears show of 2025. We are very, very happy to be here. There is a lot for us to discuss. Matt Forte is going to join us in a half an hour. That's right. We're going to talk with him weekly about what's going on with the Bears. Jason Leisure will join us at 4:25. We'll get a report from Hallis Hall from him. And the Jalen Johnson Show at 5:15 this afternoon.
That it's not our show, but we're on that show, if memory serves.
I think. Alex is here. Tanny is here. That sad man is Matt Spiegel.
Same old song and dance. The Aerosmith. That song is from 1974, Lawrence.
That means it's older than me.
I mean, I'm not sure if, Bob Avellini's starts were followed by produced radio opens that featured that song. But I know for damn well sure Jay Cutler starts were, and Mitch Trubisky starts were, and Rex Grossman starts, and Justin Fields, and
Craig Krenzel.
This was supposed to be different, man.
Moses Moreno.
And maybe it will be eventually, but that devolved after a wonderful first drive. That devolved into a deeply unpleasant, familiar Bears primetime football experience.
Keep going.
Sad. Mad. I mean, it was freaking brutal. So here's the thing. Did he say the guest? Are we clear? Yeah, are we clear? Is the runway clear?
Go get him. Man, go get him, baby.
Caleb Williams was really bad last night. This offense is designed for him to go to the top of his drop and then make the throw in rhythm. Count how many times you actually saw him do it last night. I was counting as it happened. I got to three. I mean, maybe really even two. But, like, it was so noticeable when he actually did that that Troy Aikman almost jumped out of his chair in appreciation. This is Troy happy about one time when he saw it.
Caleb Williams lets it fly. He has got more and more on a perfect throw from Caleb Williams. He's got 22 yards.
Well, this is exactly what Ben Johnson wants to see. The play action and then the pass to the outside to DJ Moore. This route is exceptional. And the confidence in which Caleb Williams hits his back foot, comes up, lets it go, is terrific. This is what Ben Johnson watched for the last 3 years in Detroit with Jared Goff when he was calling the plays.
And then he wasn't watching it at all last night. Like, again and again. And Caleb, he made decisions very often to check down and dump it off.
Which I think is actually a step in the right direction.
It absolutely is. It absolutely is. So this is progress. It is progress. But here's the thing, man.
It isn't Christmas, though.
It is going to take a while. I find myself struggling to have the patience that I know we need to have. And I have preached about needing to have the patience. Because he gets half a year, at least, to try and get to the spot where he's doing what Ben wants him to do. But, man, he was bad last night, making the decision to hold on to it a little bit longer and then scramble, or hold on a little bit longer and then dump it off, or hold on a little bit longer and then run for his freaking life and get out in chaos and every once in a while be a hero and have that work out in the way that you were talking about in transition. But, man, that thing where he's supposed to go back at the top of his drop and release it in rhythm to open receivers – three times last night, maybe four. That's not enough, and you can't win under Ben Johnson if you do that.
Just a little patience, that's all we need. Shout out to Axel.
You have a really good way of doing the Axel move, the sway like that.
I love that sway.
Just need your long blonde hair.
Yeah, I would do the voice, but I don't want to blow out the vocal cords this early into a show. But yeah, to speak to what you're talking about, I am okay with what I saw for a big portion of that game, where Caleb does clearly miss some guys that are open. Like, he doesn't trust the window quite yet. He needs to start getting to the place where he trusts that, make the throw, your guys are going to be there.
Does he see it and not trust it?
I'm looking forward to real breakdowns, like from JT O'Sullivan. And,
correct.
Because I do think that he saw and was like, I'm not sure. And I don't want to risk it, because remember, he's also risk averse.
Yes. And so there were a ton of what seemed to be teachable mistakes in the first half of that game. I'm like,
and it felt good because the results were there.
Yeah.
Where you had a lead. He had been pretty good and accurate as far as, like, just saying, all right, there's DeAndre Swift. Let me get the ball to him. I'll check it down. We'll live to fight another play, mm-hmm. which I do think is part of the maturation process. And for me, that was enough. Like, that was enough. The second half of it is the thing that I keep talking about over the last few weeks, is I don't have to have anyone show me. I don't need any expert to tell me. I have seen it enough. I know that Caleb Williams can do the crazy bleep. I know it. I've seen him do it. We saw him do it against Minnesota last year. We saw him do it against Green Bay last year. We saw him do it against Detroit last year. I know if you put that guy in a 4-minute or a 2-minute offense, he can run it effectively.
Just let him play. Let him be off script. Let him do his thing.
Yes, but that's not what this offense is supposed to be. And until he gets to the place where, you know what it's like? It's like a shortstop that, you know, man, look at that play in the hole. Look, oh my God, did you see that throw? And then it's, well, there was a two hopper that should have turned into a 6-4-3 double play.
Got to make every one of those.
You got to make those. And that's what I want to see Caleb do.
Fourth and three was open, man. Fourth and three was wide open. And he didn't hit him. Had the same play later with Kmet. didn't hit him. There were a whole bunch of other accuracy issues. It's like, Lawrence, when he stepped out of bounds instead of dumping the ball off.
It reminded you of something, didn't it?
Trubisky did that exact thing.
He did it a bunch of times.
He did it a bunch of times. But this was a moment like, oh man, you gotta know better. You gotta know better than to do that. And the intentional grounding, and watching that, I'm thinking, oh man, that's too much chaos. You're trying
to make a play, and it's
losing himself on the outside of the pocket. Like when the Trubisky thing happened, I'm like, oh, this is not. Like, did we? And I want to be patient. I want to be real because there's a lot of the nuance like we're talking about. But, you know, I said it in the thread today, man. I got scared. Did we get a lemon?
That just broke my heart, man.
Did we get a lemon?
When you sent that, I was like, oh.
It's because you said the J.J. McCarthy thing with Aaron Jones saying they found a real leader. This guy's just built different. And I'm like, wait a minute. Every quarterback taken after Caleb has outplayed him. Drake May has outplayed him. Bo Nix went to the playoffs.
I got some questions. I would fight you on the Drake May.
He outplayed him head to head last year under similar circumstances.
That's true. But I also think that had a lot to do with one of the guys who made a mistake in last night's game making mistakes inside of that game twice.
But Drake is the one leading you to a win while Caleb didn't last year, if we're going to go head to head. But even if we expand it and we go more, Jaden has outplayed him. You know,
he might be the best quarterback in the NFC. Might.
So you got all these, and then last night JJ on the road in his first start is 6 for 8 with 2 touchdowns in the fourth quarter.
What they did in the second half was great, but here's the part that might make people upset. You said it during transition. I saw Kevin O'Connell change things for his quarterback in the second half, and it was funny, like he was talking about, yeah, they did some stuff defensively that we were like, oh, that's not really quite what we thought they were going to do, but they were able to take advantage of it. Bears players on defense got so in their own heads about what they were doing well, and they were. Like, Dio Dangbo played a really great half, and then he played a really bad second half of the game and cost you yards. And that read option,
yeah,
that McCarthy scores on, TJ, it's all like when coaches are talking to us about technique and they're talking to us about the small things, go back and watch that play and watch TJ Hockenson just fake step towards the middle of the line. And that was enough for Dio to key and go, oh, I'm crashing down. This ball is going towards the middle. And then JJ went right out the back door because you didn't keep contained.
So you think Ben should have made more changes to accommodate Caleb by the fourth?
I think that one coach did and the other coach didn't.
Well, let's go back to August 15th when you were struck by what Ben Johnson was saying as he lowered expectations and changed the entire backdrop on what what camp was about schematically. This is Ben Johnson from the 15th.
That's the balancing act that us as a coaching staff have to go ahead and figure out, because yeah, we do want it done a certain way and we know what winning football looks like. But at the same time, we're at a different stage than in year one than where we'll be in year two or year three of this offense and this defense. And so I do it. It's a good reminder for me, you know, where I was last year. We played Buffalo in week 14 of the season, so I'm able to pull up that game plan and look at that game plan. We're not ready for some of those plays yet, to be frank with you. And then I go back and I look at the first game I called in 2022 against the Philadelphia Eagles. Well, that game plan was nowhere near what that Buffalo game plan was last year. So it's just perspective. It's the learning process. Knowing where you start is not going to be where you finish, and making sure that we don't bite off more than we can chew here at this point. We just want to see these guys go out there, play clean football, and play fast.
Tanny is on one today. He is not happy about what he continues to see with the Bears. And I think that it's fair for anyone to and we also often elevate the conversation. I think it's really fair to look up and go, wait a minute, they had 2 second round picks that didn't really play last night. And that's not supposed to be the case.
And we can,
those are supposed to be starters for you.
We can do all of that and talk about Ryan Poles. I'm just, my overwhelming feeling last night was Caleb in a simplified offense that Ben Johnson just told you is simplified and dumbed down at through camp is not able to do what he needs to do. And
yet,
and I know that people need to be patient. And I'm one of those people, and I'm having trouble being patient.
Well, you need to get back to being patient, especially.
How?
Well, because you're the arbiter of the patience. You're the one that's been sitting here telling people to be patient.
So were you. So were you. So now you tell me how to be patient.
I'm still being patient.
Oh. Well, I'm struggling. Who's the patient person on these? Tanny's not patient. Tanny is. Tanny feels like it's the same old song and dance again.
It might be. It might be, but I'm not willing to say that based off of a bad half, especially when there was good. Like if there was no, if we walked away from Caleb yesterday and there was no good and then it devolved into what it devolved in, I might be more willing to join you, but there was enough for me to be like, that's cool. And maybe there's something there. Like what did I say last night? I love the idea that in film session today, that Ben's going to be able to be like,
hey, man, you missed that guy.
DJ was wide open right there.
Could have done that.
Yeah, or even on, the thing that bothers me, more so than the reading of what's going on, is his inability to throw with touch when he needs to. I know he's got the Nolan Ryan. I know it. Yeah. I need you to have the Greg Maddux.
I know, man. And this is...
Late Greg Maddux. Early Greg Maddux through 95.
It's week one of year two, but it's week one of year one with a real coach and a real schemer and a real infrastructure. So he's got, what, at least half the season before you go crazy and you do anything with your backup and your Bajent dreams and all that business. In my mind, he's got at least half the season. We're going to watch it and dissect it and pick it apart. I just thought it would be a better starting feeling than today.
I feel you. And it felt awful, Spiegs. And we need to talk a lot about this.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.